Oslin now at center. He's got some room to skate. He'll take it in across the line. Oslin down to the corner, far side, slides it in front, scores! Great pass to Byram, and he's tied the game at one apiece with 9:02 remaining in the second in Boston.
Bo Byram off to Chicago after a great playoff. I mean, more so in the Boston series, but a great overall playoff. He is on his way to the Blackhawks. 1 year left on his deal. We'll see if he signs. But the Sabres get the fourth overall pick, and everybody seems to love it. We'll get to Brian Koziol in a moment here. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Also, your phone calls throughout the morning as well. And is there any other side of this one? Because it doesn't really sound like it. And now it's, do they flip the pick or do they keep the pick? Draft week just got a lot more interesting. 803-0550. Brian, in one moment, I want to get John in Pittsburgh here, who's been waiting patiently. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Morning.
I woke up this morning and saw this trade because I didn't see it yesterday. What was Chicago thinking? It makes zero sense for them.
It is odd. I mean, they do not seem close enough to winning that they should be trading an asset like that.
No, it's so the way that I put it was this. When you're trading for a guy like Bowen Byron for a playoff side, like during the playoff time, you're going to trade a first round pick, but it's going to be in the 20s because you're going to be in the playoffs. You're trading a fourth overall pick. That it just doesn't make any sense. And you're taking Greenway off our hands. Thank you. Right. And now you gave us a guy who's 6'8", right-handed shot, who played his first full year in the NHL last year and has improved every single time that he's been called up.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, John, for the call. Yeah, Louis Crevier is the other player in the trade. I didn't know a lot about him other than he was really tall, 6'8". And my first thought was, okay, is he just the Stanley replacement? That is kind of how it reads. And I will say, listening to a couple of those Chicago hockey podcasts last night, that they were not happy that he was in the deal. I heard him referred to multiple times as their best defensive defenseman last season, and they traded him as like a throw-in that makes less than $1 million. I mean, as the Sabres are trying to win and they're going to be spending to the cap, you know, spending $800,000 or $900,000 on your third-pair defenseman feels like a pretty good idea. Brian Koziol now, there was a big story in golf yesterday I want to touch on as well, but Brian, good morning. When I texted you, I did not think we were have this trade to talk about, but obviously we will. We'll lead with it. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, what a move for the Sabres. Our draft coverage on Friday night is going to be a lot more interesting, regardless whether they pick someone at four and we've got a high level prospect to talk about, or the four turns into something else. Obviously, so that's going to be a great piece of Friday night draft coverage for us to talk about.
Were you scrambling to not just look up, but like, all right, I got to read now about all the guys that are supposed to go in the top five? Because I was not doing that until this trade, obviously. Like, even at 27, it's, all right, see who they get, what position does he play, the guy's probably not going to be here for a couple of years. And now it's like, maybe who they pick is even on the team right away. And that's if they do pick it. I think the better conversation is whether they should.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's such a different story than what we've had going into every draft and every free agency period that we've had here, you know, since throughout this whole drought, because it seems as though it's always been a little bit more like long-term planning. And now it's immediate. It's like, well, what can you do to be as good as any team in the NHL or at least any team in the East? And I think that you're thinking about what's a move or two that can push them to maybe represent the East in the Stanley Cup next year, because obviously we know they were one goal away from being in the Eastern Conference Finals. So it's not like, you know, what they have to do is any sort of massive change, but what's the pieces that need to get done to maybe make that happen? And I know, you know, this week a lot of talk about what's the goaltending situation going to look like. Is Connor Hellebuck an option? Are there other trades out there? Dylan Larkin, other big pieces? And now all of a sudden when you have pick four, it feels like all of that discussion can be really actually taken seriously because you have a valuable piece that some of these other teams may want. So that opens up all of that. The fact that part of yesterday also opened up a whole bunch of salary. Now I feel like can bring back Alex Tuck's discussion as well. Like, is that now going to be, okay, now we can make another offer back that way. I mean, there's so many different layers to this The Byram piece to me, it's a little disappointing. I totally agree with you. I thought he was their best defenseman against the Bruins in that series and very consistent through the season. We know Dahlin had his ups and downs early for a variety of reasons, and understandably so, and he was great. Samuelson was outstanding, but maybe in terms of the offense, Byram, I thought, really, really chipped in here and there at times when some of the other D maybe were struggling. And, you know, to lose a player like that is tough. He's part of that top four that I thought was a top piece of why the Sabres turned this season around, why they ended up winning the Atlantic Division. To roll out those top two pairs and have them be as good as they were in the second half of the season, as good as any top four in the NHL, I think, it stinks that you kind of can't keep that together. But it's understandably the reasons why. We know the contract, his kind of role that he wants to fit, all that sort of stuff. So it's understandable. And to be able to flip this for what you did, when you consider maybe what originally he was obtained for in Middlestat, like, it's it feels very, very good, if I think, if you're on the Sabres side of this.
Yeah, everybody loves the trade. When's the last time, Brian, can you remember the last time the Sabres made a trade and everybody that covers the sport went, wait, they got what? Like, grand larceny being used as a term, highway robbery, just everybody loves the trade for them. And I can't remember the last time, at least we can look back on deals and see that, but the last time where they made a trade and that was the immediate reaction. It's been a while, I think.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you could say they won Middlestat for Byram recently, but we didn't know to the extent. You can say they, obviously, the Paterka for Doan, I mean, Kesslering didn't work out, but Doan has worked out great. Could say they won that trade, but at the moment that it happened, I don't even want to call it an overreaction, because then it sounds like it's incorrect. It's a huge reaction. Yeah. And Chicago fans online seemingly are like, what is our team doing? How can you have the fourth overall pick and not give something to help Connor Bedard on his wing, like, or offensively? Like, it seems as though right away here that it felt like that Jarmo Kekalainen did the nice things. And the options, I just think that the options that it gives you, the salary cap room that it opens up, I feel like Jordan Greenway, while valuable in some sense with his salary, it was time to move on there, and you were able to get that done. And now at four, and with the move that with earlier that they moved from 27 up to 20, like, just there's so many different options now. You've got more salary cap room. I mean, is it taking care of Tuck? Is it going to get somebody else? Is it making a trade? Like, there's so many different layers to this now that open up the discussion of what can actually happen next.
Yeah. Someone tweeted in the Jeff Skinner trade was a good one. They traded a second, a third, and Cliff Poo, I think, to get Skinner. That was one where I remember everybody loving it immediately. Yeah, I mean, everything's on the table for them. Because really, Brian, now, like, this was already maybe true because of the prospects they had, but they didn't have the draft pick. Was any player that's available, they could outbid other teams. Now I think that has to be true. I don't know how much willingness they'll have to trade number four, but like, if Matthew Knies is going to be traded, it's hard to see somebody outbidding the Sabres if the Sabres want him that badly. You know, like, they have all those young pieces. They have number four. Ottawa could be in that deal with number nine, but sorry, my pick's better now. And that could be true of, I mean, I don't know if Jason Robertson is going to get traded in Dallas, but at any idea, no matter how big, I feel like is now possible because of that draft pick that would have a ton of value. I don't know what the right guy would be, though. Like, Knies is the one I think about the most. Like, is that your guy, or is there a different star player that has been kind of out there that you're really interested in?
I mean, the Larkin piece to me just says, like, we're all in to win the cup if you can pull that off. Now, I think it'll take more than four, but you have all those players that you mentioned. Like, there's, whether it's Ostlund, whether it's Kulik, whether there's Mertka, I mean, or another draft pick now, like, you've got ammunition to throw that in. I feel like that's more of a long shot idea, but the fact that now you at least have the ammunition that it can happen, whether Detroit wants to do it or not, or whether the Sabres want to do it or not, I guess, you know, that obviously I don't fully know, but the fact that you have now the cards to push in that if you say that's the guy we want, we can go do it. The goaltending piece, I know you guys were talking about a lot yesterday, just to me, trading for a goalie, like, Line and UPL, if that's what the run back is, can you count on one of them to just play at a high level at a specific time? And last year they both were for literally 50 games in a row there. Can you get one of them? And then if one cools down, can the other one step in? Like, I feel like having two of them, the numbers would say you maybe you can run that back and get away with it again. Although, you know, if you go out and got Connor Hollebuyck, again, the message it sends to the rest of the team in the league is, hey, we're going to win. We're trying to win the Cup right next year, which also can be very exciting, too, and probably pretty inspiring for the current team members if that ends up happening.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk more goalie later in the show for sure, because there we talked. You're right. We talked a lot about Hellebuck yesterday, and since we went off the air yesterday, Kevin Weeks reported about the Sabres and Sergei Bobrovsky, and there was a rumor about the Sabres being willing to listen on Lukanen. So maybe they are poking around in the goalie market, but we'll see. Brian, before we let you go, one of the real reasons I wanted to get you on, one of the biggest reasons, was there was huge news in the PGA yesterday. Did we just get relegation in American sports for the first time in golf?
It sounds like it. We didn't get all the full details, but it sounds like there's now a two-layer league upcoming with the PGA Tour. They're calling it the Championship Series and the Challenger Series, and essentially fields of 120 and then another field of 120 with events almost coincidingly going at the same time from February through August. If you win twice on the Challenger Series, you move up to the Championship Series. Like, it does sound like that there's going to be some regulation involved, that if you don't perform well, then you get bumped down, but you can earn your way back up. Like, I think for the initial amount of information we got yesterday, we didn't get all the full details, but it sounds like that's what's happening. And I think it's good, because now it's on the player to perform. They're offering two different levels of the PGA Tour and two different events, essentially, almost each week. It's not going to be every single week. I know, like, during the majors and stuff, they might have some other stuff happening. But overall, it sounds like there's going to be two layers to the PGA Tour, which opens up opportunities for more players and more good stories to me that I like. But at the same time, now you're going to have these great events here, which these elevated events, I thought in some sense worked well, but in some sense they didn't. There was no cut. Instead of having 120 or 140 or 150 players, it was down to 70. So you're excluding, I think, sometimes the good stories, or you're excluding some good players sometimes too. Now they've opened that back up. There will be no more of these no-cut events. I think sometimes interesting of watching on Friday is to see guys make the cut. Like, that's always an interesting piece of watching golf on Friday. So that is back. Obviously, they're going to talk about, too, about maybe changing up the order of the courses and all these sort of things. And maybe we'll see. They talked about for the playoffs, the FedEx Cup playoffs, the three events. It may not even be called FedEx. They may have a new sponsor. But that they're going to rotate some of the courses around to different what they call historical venues and unique venues that we haven't seen before, like Seminole Golf Course or Pine Valley. Some of these places that are known for being great golf courses that we haven't seen a PGA Tour event ever at. So there's a lot to it. I know we don't really have a lot of time to go through more of it, but it sounds like regulation, two different layers, and a chance for a lot of guys to maybe move up and earn their way up to this, what is going to be called Championship Series PGA Tour.
Gotcha. And Rory hates this? Did he kind of let everyone in on that at the U.S. Open? Or did he tried to walk it back yesterday, but we already heard his opinion on it, right? So that had to be like the PGA saying, like, hey, we need you to kind of be on board with this because we're doing it.
Right. And they brought Tiger out, which helped. Like, if he's the face of it, and he was a big piece of this happening,
right,
then I think also it'll keep guys like Rory and some of these other guys in check, because if Tiger had a big hand in it, they don't want to insult Tiger as well at the same time. So I think that can help have him out there too.
Definitely. Thanks, Brian. Yeah. Draft coverage, 7 o'clock. I don't know if the draft coverage started at 7. I know the draft starts at 7 on Friday.
Yeah, I think both. I mean, obviously they're not going to start picking at 7:00, but probably start thereafter. We've got a half dozen of us that are going to be down at the arena. Paul's going to be with the Sabres brass and Yarmo, so it'll be full coverage. We're excited to be down at the arena because it's obviously in Buffalo this year, so that adds another piece of excitement to the draft too.
Yeah, fourth pick in Buffalo, and they're good. Yeah, that's like as good as you could possibly ask for.
And now a reason for Sabre fans to go down there too,
right?
To come to the arena. Like, I thought it was going to be filled with all Leafs fans with them having the first pick, but hey, now the Sabres have 4 and 20. be in the arena, go down there and, you know, welcome that prospect, or you're there when the Sabres make that monster trade that maybe lands a well-known commodity too. Yeah.
Bettman announcing a trade on the stage.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty sweet. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Joe.
Brian Cozy on the Western Hotline. Paul, by the way, coming up at 7 o'clock, your phone calls as well. The Sabres trade Byram for number 4. How good is it, and what should they do? Flip the pick or keep it and make it? And we'll talk some prospects throughout the week as well. It's Joe DiBiase, Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Right now, I've told all the teams that have inquired about number 4 pick that we're just going to listen for now, take notes, and see what they think is the value of number 4. We value that very highly, obviously, ourselves. We know there's a great prospect available there. That's going to be 2-3 years away, or maybe even more, before they can make an impact on our team. We want to keep getting better as a team. We had an exciting year, but still disappointing at the end, but we'll gather that information around the league and see what the value is. And, you know, if we don't think it's as much as making the pick, then we'll make the pick.
You can and you will. You can and you will. He looks at you, and I think you give him what he wants.
I hope these are Zoom calls.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I want, you have to see his face
yep.
when he's talking. You can't not appreciate the importance of sort of human dynamics. Just knowing how to get people to sign on the line, which is dotted. I'm optimistic here about this guy. Feels like he has some good traits. Alex Tuch did all right. We talked about him for about a year. What's the future going to hold? The Sabres got good, and in the process had a small fleet of young players where you might have felt at peace with losing Tuch in free agency. As it went on, it seemed more likely that that would happen, and now it's over. Washington, 8 times 10.5, $84 million. So he just made $84 million today.
Yeah. I thought he'd, well, I shouldn't. I'm about to say I thought he'd do better than that, but that was on a presumed 7-year deal once you got past July 1st. I guess, the, you know, really 11 by 7 or 11 and a half or even 12 by 7 is not that far off of what he ended up with because he got the 8 years. So the 10 and a half is probably going to work out just fine for him. And I want to, like, they two days in a row with Washington. I mean, they are, I assume, leaning into, we'll get one more year of Ovechkin here and let's make it count. Because Kyrou is, to me, off a down year still. A 30 goal, like that's a top line player. And Tuch certainly, I think, for the short term can still be that. So they've remade their top end here pretty quickly, Washington. And I'm already sort of, I don't know, I'm not depressed, okay? But, like, I'm starting to feel more and more like they probably aren't going to do everything. They're probably not going to be able to find their way to replacing Tuch with a veteran and Byram with a veteran. Yeah, maybe that's still out there. I don't know. But... And I feel already kind of bad about that, because that's what I wanted to see happen.
You wanted one of them at least to turn into somebody else.
I thought Byram for Knives, right? Turn Byram into your Tuch replacement, and then go find a defenseman. I've got one problem. Now I've got two. I mean, I have the fourth pick in the draft, and that is a tremendous asset. But I don't feel like the fourth pick in the draft is worth the fourth pick in the draft to a team that should be trying to win the Stanley Cup, if that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it's just not as valuable to me looking at it as you would look at it objectively. It's the fourth pick in the draft. I'll probably get a very good, maybe the great top line, top pair player there. Okay, when's he going to help me win the Stanley Cup? when Tage Thompson ages out? Like when is it going to happen? I mean, that's an exaggeration. He's got a lot of years left still. But I need something now. And now I need two somethings. And I'm going to end up just going, okay, well, maybe Hellenius can do it. Okay. And I didn't want to end up there. That could still work. And I got to remember that. But I'm already sort of rationalizing, like, well, that could work. And we haven't even gotten to the draft. And I'm sort of feeling this is maybe the old Sabres creeping. And I need you to talk Kekalainen up some more to get me back into, like, okay, they could still do something really huge here.
How much more can I say?
I know.
I'm already...
I need the whole speech again, I guess, eventually. Not right now. It's okay.
I've said a lot.
I'm just reluctant to, like, take a victory lap with Kekalainen for trading Byram away and getting a third-round pick in a sign-and-trade for Tuck. I'm going to need... I'm not trying to be impatient. It's just that I feel like I'm seeing the horizon a little bit more now, and I don't know. It might be hard to do both things.
It's not a win until it's a win. It's not a
right
success until you get something... what you're saying, get something more out of it for the present. I mean, I think the upside case you would not need to have explained to you. It's that your young forwards can do the job and that even perhaps Tuck hit a wall. I mean, I'm not going to root against the guy, but I'm very curious to see how many good years he still has. I think they were both, Tuck and Byram, excellent against Boston and not excellent against the Canadiens.
Totally agree.
And the last image I have of Tuck is him getting walked at the game I was at in game five by Hudson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the goal that basically made it Montreal's game. Not that that's fair to Tuck. I mean, he had many great moments for the Sabres, but not in that series. So that you can believe that, I think it's plausible that they have enough up front with somebody else will come in. I mean,
yeah.
Whatever that is. I don't mean by the fourth pick. And then defensively, they make it work with their big three and can get by replacing a player who was uneven. You know, I think that's not too harsh when it comes to Byram. So
I think it is for last year. I don't think he was uneven at all. I mean, I think he had every bit as much to do with what they did from that blue line as the other three guys.
Okay.
So I think his career has been uneven, but
well, he's the fourth best of them.
Yeah, I agree. But that doesn't make him easy to replace. So I just don't know where they're gonna find that guy. I trust that they will find a guy. I'm sure they know that they don't have a replacement in house. They would have known that when they made this trade. So I'm sure they're working on stuff. I'm sort of starting to feel like I'm going to just be with, okay, which one of the kids is going to score 30 goals this year? And I didn't want to end up there. I wanted to end up that where if one of the kids is ready to score 30 goals, then I got to make room for him. Okay, I'll react to that. But I don't think it's a plan to say one of them is going to break through like that because we just don't know. You can't know. I mean, you can love the skill sets and love the chemistry or whatever it is, but you just don't know that they're going to be hold up to it. I mean, none of them. Kulik hasn't played in a year almost, and Osland and Hellenius both hardly proved that they are up to 3 to 4 games a week in the NHL. I mean, they looked good in very small samples. And that, to me, that's not proof enough to say I can count on it, you know? And I know, like, nothing in sports is for certain. Oh, there's a lot of speculation that comes with it. But I feel like I just don't know. I don't really know yet what I've got there. I've got – it's exciting. There's potential. And it could all be fine. But I'm just a little leery of ending up on, all right, let the 20-year-olds do it.
They did add a defenseman in the Byram trade.
That's right.
Louis Crevier.
I think he's a nice, I think, third pair guy, I think. Did play some top four last year. Chad even mentioned, like, maybe they end up there. That's also, to me, very risky. But I'm interested to see what he looks like. For anybody who's getting lost in the idea of having 6'8 Crevier and 6'7 Logan Stanley, you should be reminded Stanley is a free agent, and I don't think he's in the plans.
Stanley's up. Shen is out.
Yep.
Metsa is still here. Timmons is still here.
Yep.
And now Crevier, 25, a young 25.
Yep.
6'8"
Big, big shot. 100 mile an hour, most 100 mile an hour shots in the league this year. I think I read.
Did he have to hit the net for those to count?
Great question.
Could I just shoot it at the boards, final 10 seconds of a game and get credit for 100 mile an hour
shot? I feel like I wonder. 100 mile an hour shots don't maybe have to be 100 mile an hour shots on goal, because that's not how they're phrased, and I don't want to assume that it means that they were on goal.
Still good, though.
Still good. It's a power. It's a big. It's a weapon.
It's a weapon. Bisons lose in Iowa, 18-11. Wow. To score 11 and get blown out.
Right.
But before I knew that, I was eager to bring up the Bisons because last night they won a game that they trailed after 8.
Oh, look at that.
Tied it in the 9th, won it in the 10th. Also a high-scoring game. But momentum, I guess, didn't really help. Whatever the good vibes were after coming back to win.
Yeah.
Didn't really help him carry him through today. Shockingly, that didn't really work.
It's too bad.
So, 18-11 Iowa today. Paul Hamilton coming up at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
We've had a couple of agents tell us, and players have changed their no-trade list, and Buffalo's off of it now. So that's great news for us. I think we can be a destination. Everybody saw the passion in this hockey market last spring and in the playoffs, and it was incredible. People have taken notice of that. Winning helps. I always say that. So I think those couple things combined, the Buffalo and the Buffalo Sabres are becoming the destination.
We'll see. I hope he's right. Because so far, guys are just leaving.
Yeah. Right.
So far, I'm very hopeful, though, that in the next 2 days that will change. Jarmo Kekalainen. I like listening to Jarmo.
Yeah. He was pretty frank yesterday, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
Like, he just told it how it was.
He tells it how it is, but also he is not just... Like, sometimes I feel like a guy could come off as direct, but actually isn't really giving you anything.
It's like a facade, yeah.
Jarmo is actually trying to give you something. A little bit. Not to the extent that I think, like, Tim Murray used to. But, honestly, I'd say Yarmo's the first GM that I've liked listening to since Tim Murray. Which I know was only 3 GMs ago. Right? 3 GMs ago? But anyways, we'll get to your phone calls. How much should I avoid the trap that is a Vegas account on Twitter declaring that the Vegas trade with the Sabres for Eichel is now a fleecing because the Sabres lost Alex Tuch? One, you shouldn't really care too much about did you do better in the trade than the other team. If you got what you wanted out of it, then who cares about the other side? Vegas won that trade the moment Eichel lifted the cup. So that also makes it a moot point. And also, Noah Ostlund does exist, and he is a part of that trade. He is the first round pick from that trade. So, you know, the Eichel trade's not over. Krebs is still here for now, but he's more of a secondary piece. Yeah, Tuck's gone, but Ostlund, he's either going to be here and be a really good player for a really long time. I don't think that needs to make it so that the Sabres won the trade. They're probably never going to win the trade unless they win the cup. If they win the cup and Ostlund's a part of it, a big part of it, then beautiful. Then you'll say, yes, they did. But he also could be a part of a big trade going back the other way where he is now one of the pieces the Sabres use to bring back somebody of significance. I think it would be easier to do that if the fourth pick was going to be a forward. But we'll talk with Chris Peters coming up at 9 o'clock from Flow Hockey on this draft and the prospects. But I think a lot of the draft experts seem to think the best player available when the Sabres are up on the clock at 4 is going to be a defenseman. So if that's true, I'd be a little less willing to want to part with an Osland. But, you know, if that's what it takes to get a Nyes or to get, of course, a Robertson. Robertson, we'll get to Tony and David. You're on hold. We'll get to you in a moment here. If Robertson is truly available and would sign with the Sabres, that is idea number one.
Yeah, that's you're hammering that if that's the case.
I mean, it is the most expensive, both from a trade acquisition cost and a money cost.
Mm-hmm.
He wants over $14 million per year. He is worth over $14 million per year. 45 goals, 96 points last year. He's had a 100-point season. He will score 50 goals in his career. And if I can get that guy, you want to talk about an upgrade over Alex Tuch that is also 4 years younger? That's the guy.
That's franchise-altering in the best way possible, right?
Right. And if that takes Osland or Hellenius to get it done, that's the guy I would be willing to go there for. But there's not going to be many of those. Nyes maybe is another, and Larkin probably is another, and that's probably the short list.
Mm-hmm. Nyes, you said the price is good for him. So it would be, right? Or would it be too much?
But, well, the price on the contract is good.
Yeah.
The price on the trade is going to be really expensive and is likely going to cost you the fourth overall pick. I think he's getting traded, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this with Paul. Can't stop thinking about how much Shane Doan and John Chayka do not like each other. That the moment Chayka was in Toronto, it was like, we know we're not working together. Everyone in hockey knew he was leaving, and he immediately left. And I guess that started with like a dinner when Chayka was in Arizona as the GM, and Shane Doan was retiring, and he was coldly telling Doan that, like, you're done here or something.
Whoa.
At the end of Doan's career and a franchise that he had given everything to and had stayed. You want to talk about hometown discounts? Like, he did that multiple times in Arizona. And that's how you got traded going out the door. And I think there were more things that happened. So Shane Doan is Josh Doan's father, and the Doans are close with Matthew Nyes. So I can't imagine Matthew Nyes has much of a respect for who the new Leafs GM is. And does that cause a fracture? I think that has to be why you're seeing as many rumors about him as you're seeing. Because otherwise, you would never trade him. You would never trade him.
Mm-hmm.
He's 23, has an amazing contract, is really good, and is the line mate of the guy you're trying to keep in Austin Matthews and not cause leaving. So why is he popping up in rumors? It has to be because him and the GM cannot possibly respect one another. Maybe it's a one-way street. Maybe Chayka has no problem with Nyes, but Nyes, just from what he knows.
Yeah, you just want to do business there, maybe. I don't know.
I think he's getting traded. It doesn't have to be here, but I think he's getting traded. What should they do it for? Let's go to Tony in Cheektowaga. What's up, Tony?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Another reason not to trade with Toronto is we can't give them the first and the fourth. The top.
Why? Why?
I mean, the top offensive player and the top defensive player.
But they're going to be 18-year-olds, and if I'm trying to win now, like, what am I worried about?
I guess that's just my opinion. I would rather just keep four, draft,
okay.
Reed, and in 2 years, I'm not saying, you know, you have to fill in, you know, you're going to have to fill in the roster other ways, but in 2 years, now you can possibly trade Owen Power away for an offensive player, a forward, and keep this young Reed, who the little I look at seems to be a Cal McCarr-type player. So I think you got to keep four.
All right. Thanks, Tony. I do not want to be trading Owen Power in a couple of years. Talk about the cap going up in contracts. Owen Power at $8 million in 2 years is going to look like one of the best deals in hockey, too. All the big extensions that were signed 3 years ago to great players are going to look amazing in two more years. So I don't need to be thinking about trading power. I know Chase Reed is a great prospect and might end up being their pick at number four, and many believe he is the number one defense prospect in this draft. Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, point-per-game player, above a point-per-game player last year, 6'3", skates. Like, yeah, he's a very good idea. I don't want to trade power just because he's going to be really good. Also, I think putting Makar on him as a comparison, I don't want to rule out he could be Makar. Makar is the best defenseman I've seen in 25 years. Like, guys aren't just going to show up in the league and be Cale Makar. But can he show up and be, what was the Norris voting last year? Who do I want him to be? Can he be Dahlin?
Yeah, right.
Dahlin is one of the best defensemen in hockey. He's not as good as Makar. Maybe last year he was. Makar had some injuries. But on the overall, not as good as Makar. Not as good as Makar. Dahlin, though, is that end of the first tier defenseman in the league. Schaefer is going to be up there. And if Chase Reed is going to be like one step below that, yeah, that would want me. I would want to stay at four. If you told me I knew that Chase Reed's going to show up in 3 years and be the sixth best defenseman in hockey, I'll sit at four. But you can't guarantee that. And I'm also not afraid of trading the fourth pick to Toronto.
No, I'm not worried about that at all. Like you said, it's 18-year-olds who might not see the league for multiple years, right? Like it's not. You're trying to win now. That should be. If you're going to do that, you're going to do that for that reason, and it's not going to affect you in the immediate.
I think if Toronto makes that trade and they acquire the fourth pick, could go great for them. I think they are heading down the path of Matthews leaving. And if that happens, they are a rebuilding franchise. And I think the Sabres have arrived at a point where you do not have to worry about rebuilding franchises. If they ever decide to join the party and start winning again, I'll worry about you then. But I'm not going to worry about rebuilding franchises.
I think
Toronto, if they make that trade, is a rebuilding franchise.
Absolutely. Is that not how everyone thought about the Sabres?
Before this year.
Yeah. And then they joined the party, right? Like, that's just how it is.
David in Cheektowaga's next. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
So, I got to say, man, I feel like lots of ways we can go. There's really no wrong answer. I think they're all good ideas. I feel like the Sabres are lacking a forward that moves the meter by himself. A star-studded guy that's like, we got to watch him like a Celebrini, you know, in the past. You know what I'm saying? Like Ovechkin, whatever. We need a top guy. I feel like take that number four pick, throw Sturbach or Murka, another first-round pick, go for number two, get Stenberg, okay? And if Toronto does a switch-up and you get McKenna, who cares? It's a win-win. They're both great. They're both going to move the meter by themselves. They're both going to be here within a year, okay? We've got young players. We need to bank. And we have been, and we need to, this year of all years, I feel like, stop. We're not in the place that Florida's in. We're not in the place where these teams that have been winning for years and years and years can just grab somebody, throw young guys away because they have a bank of players, 26 to 32, that are all great. We don't have that yet. But we've got young players that we need to see what these guys are, especially with the cap going up. We've got the room in the future to sign them. So I'm not worried about giving away any of our top studs right now. Benson and Dole project to be on that first line. Thompson's not going to be here in 4 years. If he is, he ain't going to be as good as he is now. But a guy like Ivar Stenberg could be the best player in the league. So, like, what the hell are we doing here? Let's not worry about giving everything away. We have a lot of great cachet right now. We got the 20th pick. That could be a defenseman that can fill in for Murka or for Sturbach down the road. We can get a good goalie this year in the draft, too. There's, like, six goalies that are going to go in the top four or five rounds. I was telling Joel about it. Two of them are 6'8" monsters. Like this year, and a lot of them from Czechia, where Hasek's from. They're having this, like, the rebirth of Czechia. Some of the scouting, actually, you guys will get to that during the week with the draft coming. But the point is, I feel like they need to package that number four for the number two, get Stenberg. I mean, if he falls to us, that'd be even more beautiful. If he fell to us, that'd be fantastic. But the point is, you can get this guy. You have him. See what happens with him. I'm not really replenishing nothing. I want to see what Aslan Kulik, Helen Hughes, these guys are going to be great players. And you know what? You can always make a move before the trade deadline as the season comes in too, man. Like, we'll see what happens with Lucan and Lyon and them guys. They're up after this year. So it's like, I feel like Sabres got to kind of run it back a little bit with, now you're going to have Helen Hughes and you're going to have Kulik and you're going to have all these guys the whole season. Throw Ivar Stenberg in there. It's like another stick of dynamite, another match of the dynamite, man.
Yeah.
Benson's going to be great this year. Dolan's going to be great this year. Thompson should have a rebirth with these guys on his line. Like, dude, I'm excited for this season. I feel like if they don't trade out of it, take Reed at four. And then we got Reed coming up the pipeline. You can never have too many defensemen. They're always great cachet down the road to trade. So take Reed at four then. But my point is, if you can't go up to two, take Reed at four. If you can get Nyes for four, yeah, okay. I mean, that's cool. He's a big dude. He could probably come in right now, help us win right now. You know, so I feel like they can't go wrong no matter what they do. But I want Stenberg.
Yeah, thanks, David, for the call. He really wants Stenberg. I want Stenberg, too. I saw a model this morning. Just one guy's model in evaluating prospects, and it was over like the last 3 years, where Bedard was the best prospect in this score. Celebrini was number three. Stenberg was number two. Not McKenna. McKenna was five. Stenberg was number two above Celebrini. And Celebrini, I think Celebrini's better than Bedard, but that was, you know, a pre-draft score. Just one guy's model. I like him a lot. I think the appeal of Stenberg is not just that he's a prime A chip that you're acquiring out of that Byram trade immediately, but he also is probably the one guy you would pick in the top five that isn't McKenna that would show up right away. Like, I think Stenberg, we'll ask Chris Peters at nine. I feel like the noise is he would play right away in the NHL and help you. When we come back at 8, we'll talk with Jack Bushman on Chicago and more on Louis Crevier and maybe what they were hearing about the fourth pick and who they wanted. All ahead here on WGR.
Hey! Hey! All right. Well, we are having a start to the offseason in the NHL. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, this is what was that? Yeah, it was that. Thank you, Joe Kelly, with the cannon that he so often, maybe even sometimes overuses.
Oh,
not here though.
No, not
this
here.
Is not one of those. This is not one of those instances because people in Chicago probably think that it is a bombardment of cannon fire.
It just. What a fun night for Sabres Twitter yesterday. There was rumblings that Byram could have been moved. And by the way, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But there were rumblings Byram could have been moved because of, well, he wanted to be a number one defenseman. He's hitting UFA status next offseason. Do you want to kind of roll the dice again, be the best team you can be next year with him on the roster, and then kind of cross that bridge when you get there? Instead, Jarmo Kekalainen, I think, easily makes his most ambitious move to this point as general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. He acquires the fourth overall pick, the 45th overall pick, and defenseman Louis Crevier. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Crevier.
Crevier. And in doing so, they send Chicago Bo Byram and Jordan Greenway. They now have the fourth overall pick and the 20th overall pick. In the first round. They now have a second round pick again, which they did not have yesterday.
Also, more hilariously, Zach, they had $11.9 million of cap space heading into yesterday. Today, they have $21.3.
Yep. Now, this is also before the Benson announcement has been made. I think we're all still
right.
Waiting on his new contract to season RFA this summer. But even still, it has freed up cap space. We talked about Greenway being one of those potential guys to be traded to free up cap space to allow them to do things. Now they can. Now they can play ball and not just play ball. That fourth overall pick.
They can get nasty.
And I think across the board, they can have a lot of fun with this. I put up a poll yesterday. We can go through that as well with the fourth overall pick. Keep it or take best player available or trade it for a big fish. I'd love to hear anyone's responses and thoughts to that. 803-0550, the number to call. But in terms of the top five pick, I saw this from Charlie O'Connor yesterday, who covers the Philadelphia Flyers. This is a tweet from yesterday. This trade is hilarious. The last time a top five pick in the NHL was traded, with both teams knowing it was top five, was 2008. It is 18 years ago. This does not happen. And it happens for, I think, ultimately a good player, but it's Bo Byram. That's the guy that gets a top five pick in return. It's incredible. Almost, in some aspects, unprecedented value for the Sabres for a guy that we're still waiting on the extension for Byram. It does sound like they're working on it, and I imagine Chicago would not make this deal without that extension being somewhat in place. But Chicago does this for effectively a one-year rental, and they also free up some cap space for the Sabres and give them a defenseman that, while I don't know much about, I'm going to be completely frank there. I know he's big and skates pretty well for his size.
What he also did was led Chicago's defensemen in goals last year.
But yeah, like there's at least enough there that just the quick look at the stats can point to of like, okay, he led, albeit a bad Chicago team, in goals for a defenseman. He was a -2, which plus minus is always kind of a weird stat to use, but on a bad Chicago team, he somehow survived that and almost is in the plus category, and he played 78 games for them last year. I'm not saying he's going to be your Bo Byram replacement, but perhaps in the short term, in the best case scenario, he is that, and you still have Roddy Mirka in your pipeline. You may have the fourth overall pick being a defenseman. Chase Reed is a guy that's name I keep seeing across the board. There are just a number of avenues the Sabres can go now. They freed up cap space. The Byram deal gave them a very attractive asset.
Right, and now, remember how I said, you know, continue evolving, reshape your mind with dreams and everything like that? Now that can be even more aggressive. They have the fourth overall pick. And while I don't suspect that they will trade the fourth overall pick, you said, you pointed out the stat that the last time that it was knowingly dealt was 18 years ago. There's no way we go only 2 days between the next one.
It happens again.
Yeah. It would be rather aggressive, and I would love whatever piece comes back because of the bold idea and the bold notion of Yarmo going, it's been 18 years since we had anyone trade for a top five pick. What if I did it to them again? And we do it twice in 1 year. But the person that I'm getting back is well worth giving up the fourth overall pick. That would be cool. That would be so fun. I don't expect it, though. I expect 20 to not be used. Every bit of homework that people might have been doing about pick 20, I'm not going to say shred the documents. I am going to say ignore them. I don't suspect that they're going to use 4 and 20. There's no way. Not with where their current window is, not with their current trajectory, and not with how hot the trade market has been.
And that was even before even yesterday's craziness, right? The Sabres in Chicago end the day of trades.
Yeah, they kind of put the stamp on
they
it.
They put the stamp on what was a crazy random
Buffalo
Tuesday
puts
in
the
June.
Stamp on it.
Well, Chicago earns their right too. Not for the good.
No, I'm saying that's but, yeah. I'm saying very purposely yeah. Buffalo puts their stamp on the night.
But that was the expectation with 20 couple days ago, is that it was the move before the move. They move Michael Kesselring. They go up 7 spots.
But don't get comfortable.
Things are happening. Things are going to go on. Fourth over, I'm of two minds with this. And I think it's I'm in a good spot with it. They can take a player at 4 overall, and we can all sit there and go, that's going to be a really good player. Maybe not this year, although looking at guys the last couple of years, Porter Mertone last year arrives at the end of the season, and all of a sudden he's a major factor for Philadelphia in the playoffs. That could absolutely still happen. But certainly would be a major factor going forward. Bo Byram himself was a fourth overall pick. Cale Makar was a fourth overall pick. You are getting very high-end talent with that selection. And then now, that 20th overall pick, I think almost certainly is going to get moved. I don't imagine they'll take both, but even if they were to trade that fourth overall pick, Derek, because of how attractive that asset is, you can really start to have conversations about Jason Robertson from Dallas. Number one, Dallas is really cap-strapped. They need cheaper talent. 4 overall would do that. And because of the Greenway ousting, you now have cap space that you could bring on a 90-point forward and be okay. You can talk about Robert Thomas, although St. Louis, as much as I think they might be open for business, draft picks may not actually be the thing they want. They have 4 in the first round after the Kyrou move yesterday.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe. But, you know, you had conversations before. They were already interested in Radim Mirka as a player coming inbound. Maybe the Thomas deal becomes something of, like, can you include Ryan McLeod, free up more cap space, and more or less you just upgrade from McLeod to Robert Thomas. But you have to throw in Oslund and Mirka and McLeod.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to probably throw a pick in there for measured sake. Oh, hey, you got 45 from Chicago.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even mention that. They now have a second-round pick, and it's a pretty solid second-round pick at that.
Yeah, and I will say, though, like St. Louis did a pretty good job getting what they could for Kyrou. They get Connor McMichael back in the deal. They get a first-round pick. But Washington trying to make sure that they're not playing around. But the Sabres including themselves now into the arms race, even when it was a sell, is fairly interesting. It's the fact that they sold and everyone knows, oh, they're not done.
Well, but and that's why I think it's fun. Like, because when we were talking about this, it was the premise being like Tuck's going to leave. Oh, and Byram might want out. No one thought that this was going to be the return for Byram. Nobody. It was going to be, let's see what we can get. You know, hopefully you get a solid first-round pick, maybe a nice prospect or player in return. I mean, when Chicago came down, I know most of us on Twitter, as we were waiting, because that's how NHL trades operate, which is, again, part of the fun, as I mentioned yesterday, most of us are probably sitting there. I mean, I'm sitting in my car waiting to go to my apartment just to be like, oh, what's Chicago have? What's going to be something I'm going to be interested in? I got to the fourth overall pick. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't sit there going, it's not going to be the fourth overall pick, though. It's not going to be that.
I had a very unique experience about this. I was learning everything while taking shifts at the 11-day power.
Yeah, you're playing hockey trying to think of like what's happening and then getting the updates as your shift ends.
Even more so. Ready? So Owen Parker's on the bench with us. You know, he wasn't able to play, but I'm about to go on the ice and I find out, like he says, Byram to Chicago. Okay, that's the first piece of information I've got. I go on the ice and I forget about everything. Because, well, why do I care about that right now when I'm trying to play bad hockey of my own?
Mm-hmm.
Come back to the bench. Fourth overall has been included. I'm sorry, what? What happened in the 2 minutes I was on the ice?
I mean, that's a fair question to ask. And then it got better, too, where it was like, oh, Greenway's going
Greenway's
in return.
That's the next thing Owen said. Greenway's going. What? Okay, so you got fourth overall, and you freed up $4 million of cap space. Sick. Oh, they're also getting another pick and a player. Still to be determined. Okay, let's see what those things are. It's probably like a fourth and, like, you know, the player, we'll see what we've got out of this. It's not like Chicago has the most endearing of rosters, but, you know, take what you can get. Come back. It's 45 is the pick. What? Like, every bit of the details that kept creeping in made the deal even funnier, in a sense, better for the Sabres. And if you are on any sort of social media that follows, like, the Blackhawks or anything,
tough day.
They are melting down. And it's kind of funny. There's some good points being made, you know, like waking up the next day kind of thing of like, you know, how are you going to convince Bedard by drafting another kid that might not be here for another
right.
2 years?
I saw Lance Lysowski saying that. I think that's completely fair.
But at the same time, in terms of pure value, man, the Sabres got one in on him.
And I saw a few people saying this. I think Mike Harrington said this as well. It's so refreshing and almost jarring that a Sabres team seems to be operating at a higher level than teams like Toronto, Chicago, and Edmonton after yesterday's disastrous press conference with Mike Babcock. Like, it's jarring that Buffalo does seem to be operating at a higher level. I mean, it's a fleece. It's a robbery. Flat out. Byram's a good player. Very good player. Part of a very good defensive core for the Sabres. And yet now with fourth overall, they might be able to replace Byram, if not immediately, pretty close to it, on a much cheaper deal and part of their own core, and now they can use 20 or even 4 to bring in an elite player that will replace Tuck. And they just keep on moving forward. And now all of a sudden, again, the perception of the Sabres being, like you said, it's a sell, but it felt like most of the league was looking at the Sabres last night, looking at the Atlantic Division as a whole and going, oh, hell, they're all doing things. Every one of them are doing things. And even if they don't take someone with the fourth overall pick,
that is about attractive as an asset as you can have because of the history of it not moving. Very rarely do teams find themselves in this position, San Jose and Buffalo, by the way, where they were really, really good and they have this high-end asset.
And then you also look at the idea that players drafted overall with number four. And there's a pretty rich history here.
Right. I mentioned Cale Makar and Bo Byram just off the top of my head.
And those are players recently. There are players of the caliber of Nicklas Backstrom, Alex Pietrangelo, Seth Jones at the start of his career, Mitch Marner, Makar, Brady Tkachuk, who just got dealt, Bo Byram. But there's some real star power that ends up in these fourth overall selections. Sneaky Joe pointed out near the end of his show, yeah, there's Jesse Puljujarvi sprinkled in there, but like, you know, Lucas Raymond is becoming a nice piece for the Red Wings. Obviously, Evander Kane, Ryan Johansson back in the day, like those are solid players that you drafted with fourth overall. Yeah, there's also Griffin Reinhart, but like that's the few and far between.
Well, I mean, you're going to have misses, but it's not like, ultimately for me, I joked about it right before we came on air. For the first time all offseason, I'm pulling up prospects. This is the NHL draft. 20 or 27, which they initially had, you're getting a player that you may not see for 2 or 3 years, if at all. I mean, we're talking about Roddy Mirka as almost immediately was a trade piece for Yarmo at the deadline. The fourth overall pick, top 10 pick, you can play ball there. And on that, too, because I know we listened to a clip from Merrick, I think.
Yeah, it was Jeff Merrick.
Jeff Merrick
heading
this
up
week.
To
yes.
Heading up to number 9.
And that was the big move. And it's like,
nope.
No, not really.
Well, hang on. It's kind of funny. Yesterday, there was a little bit of like a moment where you kind of saw this coming. So, we mentioned how crazy yesterday was. It starts with the Flames and the Devils. Simone Nemec goes to Calgary along with Siplikov. And it's a player, two first-round picks, and a second. And that's for Simone Nemec. Promising player. Still hasn't even done enough as to what Bo Byram has.
And
he's
an RFA as well. Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself out loud at Harbor Center at that time, wow, if that's the price for Nemec, what could they get for Byram? Turns out, the answer was fourth overall.
Yeah.
Which, again, still wild to me. But, like, Nemec gets a couple of picks. The trade market it's hot right now. It's a price to do business, but knowing that the Sabres have the guns now to you know, really start having some fun here, that's where it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, the board has changed after yesterday, and the Sabres are in they were already, I think, in a solid position with the prospects they had. We knew Greenway or McLeod or Zucker could get moved to free up some cap space. There was always levers that they could pull. They pulled a few of them yesterday, and now it has put them in a really, really nice position. They can get aggressive. They got a few days now until the draft. It should be noted as well, Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen is going to speak with the media at 1 p.m. today. We will, of course, carry that live right here on WGR. But your thoughts on this massive trade that went down yesterday for the Buffalo Sabres late last night as well. Thanks to Chad DeMinisis letting us all know we could go to bed. That was a hero move by him. But 803-0550, the number to call with the fourth overall pick. Do you want to keep it, take the best player available, or do you want to go big fish hunting and use that in a bigger trade? Let's go to the phones here, and Caden is up first this morning. Caden, how we doing?
Doing good, guys. The fourth overall pick, I did not expect that. I think everyone in Buffalo is pretty shocked about that, but it is highway robbery. I think there's two options. I think if you use it, I'm waiting for either Stenberg to fall if he does. And then I like the Chase Reed kid. Mm-hmm. He looks like, I go to his elite prospect profile, and his first thing is like speedster. And I just think he'd mesh well with like kind of our style of like offense and how our defensemen play. trading it, I don't know what you'd trade for it. I got three dudes. I'd say probably Larkin, Robertson, and maybe McDavid.
Right.
Other than that, I'm keeping the pick and using it on those two.
Okay, thanks for the call. You bring up Chase Reed, and this is research I've done in about 3 hours. Because, again, right. I was not looking at these prospects. I knew of McKenna and Stenberg. That's about it. But the Chase Reed player, right shot defenseman, he's been in the OHL the last 2 years. Both those years, by the way, at a point per game or above a point per game in both those years.
So dangerous scoring for a defenseman in junior.
I believe he's committed to go to Michigan State next year. So, I mean, fine. You dominated the OHL. Go play a year in hockey with Michigan State. But right shot defenseman, they're constantly what you're looking for, and especially if you're the Sabres, where everyone's a left shot defenseman, that'll work. And then Ivar Stenberg, who almost seemed like he was having his Yaroslavkovsky run from a few years ago when everyone was pointing to it's going to be Shane Wright, it's going to be Shane Wright, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. Shane Wright is not hit for Seattle. So I'm not saying that's going to necessarily be Stenberg, but if he were to fall to four, and I don't think he will. I think San Jose, with their move yesterday to move Eklund to Ottawa, I think they are preparing to take him. But there's enough they could do here with the fourth overall pick that I could be excited about going forward. And then, yeah, you bring up the players that you might want to go get, right? Like McDavid, we laughed, but like it sort of does have to be brought up because these picks don't move. It's been 18 years since a top five pick has been traded. I don't think it's that realistic, but it's why I bring up guys like Robert Thomas again. Although, again, St. Louis has four first-round picks in this year's draft. That may not be what they want anymore. But Dallas, Jason Robertson, we know they can't afford him. The rumblings have been they will probably move him. You now have a very attractive asset for a team that is really being held down by the cap and the fact that they can't bring everybody back. You're now giving them, here's a really nice asset for a very cheap, potentially elite player for you. We'll take Jason Robertson. And look, because it is a 90-point forward that's 26, you're probably sending something else. It's not just going to be the fourth overall pick. But there's a lot that they can do here. There really is. And we even saw yesterday as well, they're sniffing around the goalie market. Kevin Weeks reporting that they were at least one of the teams kind of calling about Bobrovsky, Connor Hellebuyck. That stuff has not gone away at all. It's just, I think yesterday definitively showed they're in the business of making moves, if and business is good.
If you're on the, if you, we talked a lot about Winnipeg yesterday, Zach. All of a sudden, number four can get you a Kyle Connor.
I know, yeah.
Or
I didn't
Connor
say
Hellebuyck.
Yeah. And this thing,
allow me to be the one to say it.
Well, Connor, that's the thing with Hellebuyck, and goalies are so weird. The value's never right.
The value's never right.
You're never going to get enough for a goalie.
You're never going to get enough for a goalie. And yet at the same time, if you were on team goalie, right, there's a lot you could do with the number four overall pick. You might get Hellebuyck plus all of a sudden. Because if Winnipeg needs to start over, you know what helps? The fourth overall pick.
Yeah.
If Nashville needs to start over, Forsberg is in play. Number four overall pick helps a team that needs to rebuild. And all of a sudden, the price that you had to pay to get some of these players goes down in your own pipeline.
Because you right.
Have, because you have a pick that you just acquired that you, quite frankly, had no business acquiring.
That's the funny part about this whole thing is that we really should not be talking about we have the fourth overall pick. Let's see what they can do with it. They really shouldn't have it.
Yeah, that is the thing that is most
interesting. Value-wise, it is a disastrous trade for Chicago. It could work for them. Byram could be amazing with them. Maybe right. They go out and they also get Tuck. So now they've got two Sabres from a 109-point team. Here we go. It all works for them. But as we sit here now on Wednesday, the 24th of June, it is a disastrous trade value-wise for Chicago. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll talk with Paul Hamilton at 11:30 ahead of Jarmo Kekäläinen, Sabres GM, speaking with the media at 1. But we've got plenty of time for your calls, your thoughts, as the Sabres do make a big trade. Do you want to see them move the fourth overall pick, or do you want to see them stay and take potentially the best player available at number four overall? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, we're back on WGR.